in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it.
Keep getting us your Packers red flags this morning. As an article out there talks about the depth of the Packers being a red flag. Chewy talked about the offensive line. I have talked about the defensive line. Gabe has talked about the lack of superstars. Red flags for the Packers headed into 2025. Want to pivot for a moment to this Malik Beasley story. Not sure if you guys have seen it. You probably saw it, actually. And maybe if you're not a hardcore Bucks fan, you didn't recognize the relevancy to the Milwaukee Bucks. But Malik Beasley is now being investigated. I don't even know, honestly, like what his involvement is. If he's being investigated, the league obviously thinks that he is complicit in something, or there wouldn't be an investigation.
Well, it's not even just the league. This is a United States District Attorney investigation. He is being investigated federally for these allegations. Mm. So this isn't just like the NBA going, oh, we think something fishy's here. No, this is gone all the way up to a federal investigation.
Which is a little bit intimidating. A little bit scary.
Yeah, because chances are if the feds are
Spending time
looking at you, that means the leads that they have aren't nothing.
Using some of their bandwidth. So in case you missed it, these allegations stem from when Malik Beasley played for the Milwaukee Bucks. This is the 2023-2024 season. Now, if you're thinking, I remember Beasley in that season and he averaged 11 points per game and started 77 games. It was like, you know, like, but what was egregious? What was strange? What was weird about it? Well, they're looking at a period from January, I believe, on. And the article on ESPN.com talks specifically about one game where there was a lot of action on the under. This is a prop bet situation. And the under for rebounds for Malik Beasley in that game was 2.5 rebounds. And there was a lot of action on the under. So much so that it changed the line. Right? It went from a minus to a plus, or it went from a plus to a minus. Excuse me. Which sometimes happens when there's a lot of people betting on a certain prop. And he ended up having 6 rebounds in that game. That's a lot of minutiae. I'm not sure that that has anything to do with really the investigation as a whole, but it's weird because to me it was like, it wasn't like he underperformed. It's not like the over-under was 2.5 and people were betting the over because they thought he was going to go off and then he just didn't play well, or he like was lazy. There's some shots out there of Malik Beasley where you're like, whoa, is he even trying on that play? That to me would like be egregious evidence that he was point shaving or rebound shaving in this case. But Gabe, you're saying this is big for several other reasons.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, going back, it's just interesting that it happened in his time in Milwaukee, what his connection to all these people would be that placed it, okay? But it's really taking a look at what are these sports leagues going to do? Because it seems like this happens every other month at this point where a sports league is dealing with some sort of gambling. What are their players gambling and some sort of conspiracy or thing like that that's happening? I mean, you think about the NFL and the Detroit Lions that were involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, famously, Jameson Williams ended up serving a suspension. Jonte Porter was suspended for a lifetime, currently serving a federal prison sentence for his role in, you know, producing some of these same things where you just pick an under, he makes sure he hits that under. We just saw an umpire get suspended for a year for sharing an account that was betting on baseball games. Like, this is becoming more and more of a common thing where these teams have to try to, or these leagues have to try to figure out, hey, what the hell is going on here?
So how would he do it here, though? Because you're so restricted with FanDuel and draft. You can't do it. So do they think he was sending someone to Pottawatomie to lay the bet down?
Let's talk about it on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It's sponsored by BetterHelp. Mental health is health. Visit BetterHelp.com/timeout for 10% off your first month of therapy. What could they do, Gabe? They already have the parameters in place. These guys know, at least we're pretty sure across the board, you cannot bet on any games in your own league.
Correct.
Some give them the leniency. Some give them the ability to bet on other games, other leagues, other things like that.
NBA allows you to bet on other leagues.
But I also think that like this is a product of the scheduling. This is a product of just kind of the lifestyle that these guys live. They're traveling from city to city. We're all getting bombarded with the gambling at all times. You feel like, Chewy has referenced this, because you're in the sports space, you have a leg up because you got more knowledge. You know things that maybe not everybody knows. You know how difficult it is to play on the second night of a back-to-back. You know what I mean? Like, you know certain things. So you want to use that knowledge to benefit you and maybe pad your pocketbook a little bit. It's all well and good to say, just don't do it. But it feels like the deck is stacked against these guys.
Yeah. And look, if Beasley's found guilty, then you come down swift and hard. Now you don't put up with it. There's no, your suspension and then you can come back. No, you're done.
But these
you're done. And to answer your question, Chew, of how,
yeah,
my guess is, based on the very little information that's out there currently, is that people that Beasley knew, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's make sure you get the under. Yeah, I can do that. Beasley wouldn't be making the bet himself. It would be a bunch of other people who are then flooding these other sports books in either Las Vegas, obviously, or in a state where it's legal, because we don't have FanDuel, we don't have ESPN Bet, we don't have any of those sports books, MGM, where you can just go on your phone like they do down in Illinois.
Yeah.
I can just go on my phone and make a bet. So my guess is that's what they would be looking at, is friends of his, connections of his, that would have a direct correlation to him going, yeah, I can hit the under there.
But he's picking things that are so controllable, too. Like, if you want 3 assists in the game, just pass the ball, right? So you're wide open, you're like, instead of taking the shot, like, oh, okay.
But then you still have to bank on the other player to make the shot in order for the assist to count.
But rebounds, just go crash the rim every time.
If you want to hit hit an over.
Here's the thing that happens with athletes and gambling. They most often end up taking the unders because you can guarantee lack
That's
of performance
what I was just saying.
More
yeah.
than you can guarantee.
Thank you. If Malik Beasley could go out there and get 6 rebounds every night, I'm sure he would have.
Right.
But he averaged 2 point something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I found this example to be unusual. Because, Joshy, I'm with you. If it was the number was 5.5 and he ended up with 2, I'd be like, lack of effort. And
right.
there are videos out there of Malik Beasley. I have seen some of them that people are saying, look at how he was clearly affecting the outcome of the game by his lack of interest, lack of production on any given night.
There was one against Halliburton. Did you see that one?
Is it where Halliburton points to where he's going? Because that was
and he just
one.
Like steps up, and then he goes by.
Really?
Like,
his feet don't even move. He's just there. He goes.
So it sounds more like shaving then.
Well, yeah, but that's, again, because that's the easy way to control this. Like, it's easier to control under because of a lack of effort. Also, like, what do you guys think of this? Like, your client has been now being investigated federally for this. An investigation is not a charge, Steve Haney told ESPN. Malik is afforded the same right of the presumption of innocence as anyone else under the U.S. Constitution. As of now, he has not been charged with anything. That's not really a denial.
You're saying no. He didn't really go hard to the hole, yeah. if you will.
That's not really a denial. That's just him describing where they are in the process.
Well, that's just describing the legal process in general. You know, we're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty here in the United States. I don't know when that went out the window.
And they don't have the evidence to prove my client guilty yet.
Look, I understand the league's need to crack down on this stuff because they're trying to maintain some level of integrity, right? If all of a sudden fans start thinking that things are scripted, that players are influencing the outcomes, you know, in nefarious ways, then yeah, you got a big problem on your hands. I think there would be people who would just stop betting altogether if they thought all of a sudden that the deck was stacked against them, to use that phrase again. So it's a big thing. I understand the league doing this. It is interesting. The league and the federal government would not be investigating unless they had more than one example of him having 6 rebounds on a night where the line was 2.5 and a lot of people were betting the under,
and
right?
Again,
like, it's not just that one example.
Well, and I'm guessing, again, maybe, again, you're planning this out with your buddies and you probably don't plan it out that well, but you're going, oh, all right, what if a bunch of people bet the under, but every once in a while you hit the over? That'll throw them off the scent, right? Because this is the one game where, yeah, a bunch of people bet the under, but then he hit the over. But you're still making enough money where, okay, we'll throw that money away, and then we could still keep cashing in. Because, again, according to the ESPN report that Shams initially reported yesterday, this started early in January 24. The game that you're specifically talking about, Jen, with the rebounds was late January.
Okay, so I want to just address one more thing, Gabe, because I think this was a really interesting nugget by you, or an interesting domino by you. So now Malik Beasley was supposed to sign this big deal, and now he's not going to with the Pistons, mm-hmm. right? How does that then affect, and you mentioned it earlier in the show, but that could have some effect on the Milwaukee Bucks this year.
Yeah, because they were going to sign Beasley to a 3-year $42 million contract.
Who was? Detroit?
Detroit was.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can negotiate with your own guys before
and now
anybody
they're
else.
Not.
Yeah, now that's on hold, and can't imagine that a federal investigation that we just found out about yesterday is going to be wrapped up by 4 o'clock Central Time this afternoon when free agents can sign with other teams. So now they're in the market. They need a guard who can shoot. I mean, the defense part for Malik Beasley seemed to be optional at times, but they need, you know, a guy like that. And Gary Trent Jr. is somebody who's going to be a free agent for the Bucks, who the Bucks would very much like to keep because he plays a little bit of defense, because he can knock down open shots. He fits with what the Bucks want to do, and being a little bit younger as well, younger than Giannis. So I don't know if that means, you know, the market for Gary Trent Jr. is going to be going up, and the Bucks would have to pony up a little bit more with the very limited ways that they have to sign their own guy. So that could potentially be something to keep an eye on of, oh, maybe this won't be as easy as just re-signing Gary Trent Jr. if other teams could potentially go out and get him like Detroit would be.
A career 39% three-point shooter. I would love to see Gary Trent Jr. remain in a Milwaukee Bucks uniform, but there are going to be other teams that are interested in his services, and this Malik Beasley situation maybe puts them in the market for Gary Trent Jr., which would then obviously take him out of the Bucks situation. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to this morning. Stick around.
Let me tell you about our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. If it's time to upgrade your windows or doors, but you don't want to spend a fortune, of course, that's where Pella comes in. They've been taking care of families here in Wisconsin for years. Pella's the best in the industry. They've got a product line for every budget. That's what I love about Pella. They've got so many different customizable options and so many options for every budget. You're going to find something that you like. And right now, get no interest and no payments for up to 2 years. Now, I've taken advantage of these great deals that Pella does. I've got a new door. Finally have it scheduled coming later this summer. Brand new front door for our house. Of course, I wasn't going to go anywhere but Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin because they're the best. The plan's to wait. Guess what? Get it now and then wait to start making payments up to 2 years later. Certain restrictions apply, and 6/30/2025. Get that free in-home consultation, just like I did, and have them go through the process with you. Go to PellaWI.com today, and if you use Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, tell them that Gabe Neitzel sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He sounds like the Beatles.
What? Anyone?
This is a new one on me.
Listen to his interview, the way he talks. He sounds like Paul McCartney. Ringo farted, and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Milwaukee, let's get to some of the reaction from Gabe's rant earlier in the show about the Killers Encore. It's not specific to the Killers.
No.
This is encores in general.
This is encore culture. Yes. Let's call it encore culture. Like, we just need to eliminate it. Just play your sets. We all know. Look, if you're going to see a band that's as big as the Killers, if you're big enough to headline Summerfest and the amphitheater, the American Family Insurance amphitheater, and you go to that show, you know what the last song is going to be. Like, everybody in that building knew that Mr. Brightside was going to be the last song. So you don't need to take the little 3-minute break and have everybody just sitting there on their hands until you come back out. Once Mr. Brightside plays, we know that's it. Now we know you can go home.
And I contend you enjoy the encore more when you've had that slight dip in. It's like when you're doing intervals, right? Like your heart rate gets up, your heart rate comes down. Your heart rate goes up, your heart rate comes down. You let your heart rate settle for a few seconds, and then when they come out there and you hear those few, all of a sudden you're like, woo!
Well, but they kind of played a slower song, right? I mean, but right before it, because they're not coming out and playing just one song. They're coming out and playing two or three more songs. It's not like you're coming
out
just for one.
Would you be mad if they came out and played one song? Because your whole point is we need to shake up encore culture. If somebody was like, from now on, we're only doing one song
for the encore. No, let's just get rid of the break. Like, we all know what's going to happen.
It's like Last Call when they flash the lights. They play their best song. You know, it's done. It's over. Right?
Yeah, like, I mean, again, not everybody needs, again, the encore started with people like genuinely reacting and, oh, we got to go out there and play one more. Now everybody, like, it's a plan for everyone. You are planning on going out there and finishing your set with the two or three
songs.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, when you see set lists now, every once in a while, you'll see somebody take a picture of the actual set list. Not like Josh and I were referring to earlier when we were talking about how you can see what set list was played at the last show and you can get a kind of an idea of what they're going to play at your show. No, sometimes you see a photograph of the set list that is on the monitors on the stage and it says... Encore.
Yeah.
Two songs.
Yeah.
So it is a part of when they are scheduling the concert, when they are laying out the way that they want to play the songs, they are now saying, and we'll save this for the encore. I contend, though, people would be disappointed and leave a little down if they just blew right through it.
No. You're telling me you start hearing that opening guitar riff of Mr. Brightside, you're like, oh. No. People go crazy. People are going to go crazy. No matter when you play it. Again, I maintain that they should have, like, thrown a curveball and opened with Mr. Brightside, but that's not a take everybody's ready for.
People aren't all loosed. They're not all liquored up enough at that point. They haven't gotten all greased up yet.
Start with the Mizorowski 101, mm-hmm. and then just keep it going.
Dale says, as bad as the encore is, the automatic standing ovation is worse. What, like when they come out and you just, everybody stands up? No, I just assume you're going to stand while you're watching the concert,
look,
right?
I mean, yeah. Like, people were sitting, so Cold War Kids was the opener. I mean, we got there while Cold War Kids was playing. Like, people were sitting on the lawn. Like, there was nobody sitting the entire time. When, and again, this is concert dependent, but if you are headlining Summerfest inside
annoying.
The amphitheater, you're standing the
sit
entire
down.
Show.
There's a seat there. It's like at a game. Like, sit down. Right?
No, God, not you are concerts. The old person. Yeah.
See, the good news is when I'm standing, it looks like I'm sitting. So, you know, it's good, get away with it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, again, like when the music is playing, you want to be moving a little bit. You're bopping
your
head.
You don't want me standing in front of you. Right? Would you be annoyed if I was in front of you, Jen, standing
100%,
up?
But I would be annoyed, but I wouldn't do anything about it because it's the randomness of the tickets. But like, it just happens.
It would be like, but if everybody's sitting down, it's still the same thing.
Yeah, you're still bigger than me.
Fair. Are you at least you're comfortable?
Are you a sit down at concerts guy? Because this is a big thing that people often go viral for and get picked on because they get mad the people in front of them are standing, and then you look around and literally the entire stadium is standing or the entire arena. Like it's a concert; it's meant to stand. The artist oftentimes will tell you, get up.
Give me the rule book on what says you have to stand.
Then what says you have to sit down?
I will tell you this, when you go to a concert, you give yourself the flexibility of do what you want. Like, if there's a song and I am not enjoying it and I want to sit down, I'll sit down and I'm not going to be mad at the person who is standing in front of me. I have just chosen to sit for that song.
That's why I choose not to go.
Like, you
That's
have a choice.
Choose.
The
I
concerts you have been to, famously, you have not had a choice.
Yeah.
You have been forced to go.
Yeah, now me and Ange are on great understanding. I'm never going to go to another concert in my life.
Yeah, which you don't want to, which is fine.
I'm just trying to think if that is something he can actually adhere to for the rest.
Hasn't. I mean, other than like the local little bands that are playing wherever.
And I love live music.
Yeah. But I mean, it's been a couple of years since this policy was implemented.
Was it Stapleton?
Yeah, yeah. We saw Stapleton at Summerfest.
I'm going to see Stapleton in 2 weeks at the Harley
Fest. Have fun. I'll probably listen to it on the way home in my car and be equally as satisfied.
Chewie was negotiating the number of songs they would stay for.
And she lies about that story. She said it was six. It was eight. There's a big difference between six and eight.
There is
about 6 minutes.
Exactly. That's really the metric we should be using. Pete weighing in saying Gabe has a little Costanza in him right now, ranting and raving on the show. AB from Milwaukee says, I'm with Jen here. It can be ego-based, but I look at it as a part of the show. It makes me feel like the band put some effort into making those songs specific for the encore.
They didn't do anything specific. It's just their best song. It's their most famous song. They're playing it last. Everybody knows it. You don't have to put any thought into
it. It's not always that, right? I had some pals who were at Dave Matthews Band this past weekend, and they change up their encores for every show. So that's a little bit different.
Well,
they're
when
not
all
playing...
your songs are kind of mid, then that makes sense.
Wow, taking out Dave Matthews Band this morning on the show. Not something I had on my
bingo card. You've heard one Dave Matthews Band song, you've heard them all. So it's just, yeah.
No, but to the point that Joshy made earlier about the jam bands, they jam a lot. Like, so they are not playing, like, the songs from the album. They are riffing and bopping and zipping and zagging and all of that stuff. Like, it's a thing where a song on the album could be 4 minutes and they're playing a 16-minute version at the Dave Matthews Band concert. Don't make me stand here this morning and defend my Dave Matthews Band fandom.
No, I'm not saying you have to defend it. I'm just saying they're all the same song.
Is there an equivalent in sports?
Of an encore?
Maybe pulling the quarterback in the last 2 minutes?
The best thing is baseball, probably, in the, like, when they'll do intentionally pull a guy out.
Yeah, but, like, it feels like that gets earned, you know? Like, something happened. Like, and again, a lot of times,
I'd argue the Killers having one of the biggest hits in modern history would earn you an encore.
No. You get to play it, Gabe.
Is on property.
You get to play it at the end, and we get to.
I think it's silly. I'm fine playing through. Do whatever. It's. We all understand what's going on. What's the point? But if there were to be a band to earn an encore in 2025, it feels like the Killers and Mr. Brightside are the one place we can say for sure they've earned it.
Yeah, but the problem is it's not just them. Like, it's literally anybody. Like, anybody who has played the amphitheater last week, this past weekend, this next weekend, they're all doing encores. That's the problem. Like, everybody does it, whether or not they've earned it or not. This is the equivalent, yes, and I understand this example is coming from the Killers, who are one of the biggest rock bands on planet Earth. But,
and again, his point is one of the biggest songs probably of the last...
Oh, yeah, 25 years.
Yes.
So I understand that. But because everybody does it, it's like, oh, Delusion. We're going to pull Joey Ortiz so Joey can get a standing ovation because he had a hit today. Like, come on.
What if the concert sucked and you don't want to clap? Do they just not come back out?
You just leave. Right? Yeah. You just leave and then they see the empty seats and they know that maybe it wasn't a good show. I told you guys when I went to Red Hot Chili Peppers, bad. Bad show, lack of effort, going through the motions.
And guess what they did?
Encore.
An encore.
Yeah.
Now, my point exactly. Thank you.
I like the encore. If I don't like the band I'm seeing, gives me time to get out of there. Beat the rush.
Great point by you,
Skip
Joshy.
The rest.
Exactly.
I don't even need that.
Rest of you fools can wait for the encore. Yeah, you're Mr. Six Songs.
Yeah.
Can we just settle on 7? Since she says it was 6 and you say it was 8, can we just settle on 7?
No, because she's stubborn like Gabe. Yeah.
I respect it.
6 it is, then.
I mean, it was really 6. But
it sounds better
went long.
If you say 8.
But 6 times what's a normal song? 7 minutes long? So I was there for...
What kind of music
who
are
do
you
think
to?
You went to go see?
Pink Floyd?
Little Queen Bohemian Rhapsody over here.
Yeah, just played that over and over again.
Steve Wang in saying, give me a break. If Blammer came up to 2 with some really good metal tickets, he'd be all over that.
Yeah, if it was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, then I'm in.
You think Chewy is driving the Blammer to a concert that they would go to together?
No. All depends on the entertainment value.
Yeah, he can't be as entertaining when there's rock music.
Number
just
one,
blaring.
With the Blammer, a half hour ride downtown, he's got to stop 4 times and take a leak.
Well, maybe it is. Broken into 4 leaks. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We roll on after this.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And guess who didn't hit the hole? Zeke Elliott.
Ashton.
Well, I mean, yes. Yeah, right back there?
That's so true.
It was a direct shot. She took out the sniper rifle and just...
She got right up to me, took out a Glock and just shot.
Yeah, right in the balls.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Gabe is really good at what he does. He's brilliant and often has the correct take. Having said that, I say this with the proper gravity and respect... This is the most right Gabe has ever been. Never been more correct. The encore is worthless, especially in the theatrics of it. Just say you're going to play one more, bang out the hit, call it a night. We don't need the extra 5 minutes of clapping before you walk back out.
Well, and it just didn't, because everybody knows what's coming, like it's kind of half-hearted clapping. You know, like, you know they're coming out regardless of what we do. They're not walking out of Milwaukee without playing Mr. Brightside in the case of the Killers on Friday night. So everyone's like, yeah, yeah, okay, you guys coming out? How much longer do I got to do this? Like, what are we doing here? Like, you're going to make us go through the motions? Because that's all anybody's ever doing. They're going through the motions. We're going through the motions. We could just eliminate this. It's easy.
Let's pivot to the Brewers now. Brewers had a big series this weekend. Almost got the sweep as yesterday's game went into extra innings, but were just shy in extras. Ended up falling 4-3. But now they head out on the road, taking on the Mets and the Marlins. Only four series before the All-Star break. And the Brewers are in a very, very good spot. What have they won? 22 of their last 31? Just on a great tear right now. And this might even be their biggest win. Okay. Aside from what is happening on the diamond, this may be their biggest win. Apparently, at the Brewers team store, you can get merch for the two-fisted slopper. What is the two-fisted slopper? Some of you all out there might be saying. Well, Joshy, give us a listen.
This is one of those pain-in-the-neck messages the Brewers are truly sorry to bring you. We hope there isn't a single fan at County Stadium who is having a problem with the obnoxious guy we call the two-fisted slopper. You know, the one who makes upteen trips to that stand, always interrupting a row or even a section, getting to and from his seat, and gets rowdier with every return trip. To stop the two-fisted slopper, the Brewers have asked fans to drink responsibly. We have told vendors not to serve those for whom that next glass could be that one too many. And we've increased stadium security. If the slopper is still slopping around and affecting your game enjoyment, please let an usher know or tell a county sheriff or go to the Fan Assistance Center located on the main concourse at Section 18. It's either our way or no way for the two-fisted slopper.
Okay, first of all, nobody likes a narc. Okay, so...
Well, that's why you can do it anonymously now. They've got a text line inside the ballpark.
The two-fisted slopper is a Milwaukee institution, okay? When Paul Molitor left the Brewers after the 1992 season, he was asked what he missed most about Milwaukee. Do you know what he said?
The slopper?
The sausage races and the two-fisted slopper, which was this PSA that they played on the Jumbotron at County Stadium. And now, Gabe, you can buy merch, you can buy stickers, you can buy keychains, you can buy t-shirts that have the two-fisted slapper on them.
I don't know when they brought it back inside AmFam Field, but they do still play that before every game, which is why people are still, obviously, I mean, it's from back in the 70s at this point when that was initially created. So they still put it up there on the big old scoreboard inside AmFam Field, and it's a cult thing. Like, it's one of those things where if you're walking around the team store and you see that, you're probably going, what the hell is this? But if it's one of those things, if you know, you know, and it's a hilarious, I think, T-shirt to buy.
Is this
the two-fisted slopper?
Wasn't there an era where you could bring your own beer into the stadium?
I believe there was. Yes,
which obviously could lead to some two-fisted slopper.
Oh yeah, it's a liability issue because you're still responsible for some of the people inside. Which is and I don't know when they got rid of that, Joshy. Obviously, they used to have 10-cent beer night, which was nothing short of a disaster.
100%.
Who's got the worst sloppers, though? Packers, Bucks, or Brewers?
Packers.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, and especially in the later half of the year when you're just trying to stay warm.
Yeah.
So you try to, like, drink a little more whiskey, more bourbon to get your body temperature up.
The only time where it's very noticeable at Brewer games is opening day. Like, opening day is more of a party than it is actually a game, which is why I enjoyed Miz versus Skeens, because it was the crowd and energy of an opening day, but actually people cared about the baseball versus being hammered.
That is the philosophical element that I want to get to here, guys, because we just spoke earlier about how with the pitch clock, which we're not complaining about, we like that the games are efficient. We all got only so much disposable time. But now with the pitch clock, Gabe, I got to tell you, I'm two-fisting it. When I go out there to get my brewski, I'm grabbing two because I don't want to have to go back out there.
It's a dangerous game to be playing nowadays.
But my point is, like, the game has sort of encouraged two-fisting, hasn't it?
I'm just going to tell you, that's a dangerous game to play because gets warm inside AmFam Field, Jen. By the time you get around to that second one, she's going to be warm.
I mean,
I know you don't like to waste money, but you're going to be sitting there drinking a warm beer.
So basically, you got a David Bakhtiari, the first one, and then the second one you can enjoy at its normal temperature.
But what if that game was at Friday at 7:05? It would have been a different
story. I was going to say, I think the affordability and the way Packers games have gone with the amount of travel, I think the Brewers games get like that a lot. It's just if you interact with those people or not. I mean, I saw people on Monday on a 90-degree day, and it was like, I mean, how long have you been drinking for? It's a Monday. They were walking
maybe
back.
They rolled it right through.
They were denied entry, and they were walking back and trying to go to a different one, and they were saying, like, get it together. Stop talking. Just go through the gate. It was
giving himself a pep talk?
Well, his friends were giving him a pep talk, and then they started fighting about who was being the more annoying.
Shut the hell up, Don. Yeah. Right. We're trying to get in here, okay? They know you're wasted.
Maybe it was a Friday on a Monday. You don't know. Right?
Could have been.
I don't think the day of the week matters to somebody like that.
So, Josh, you're saying that people get more sloppy at Brewers games than they do at Packers games.
I think it lends itself to it. Shuttling is now such a huge thing where you can just park yourself at a bar for 2 solid hours and you're there in 5-10 minutes.
You know what? I think you've got something. I think percentage-wise, it might be Brewer games, but because Lambeau is so big, you're getting 80,000 people in there.
Right.
And I forget the reporter up at the Press Gazette that likes to do the scanner squawk.
Yeah. That's...
Like, and people getting booted or held. Again, I am not aware of American Family Field having a holding cell. I do believe Lambeau Field has.
Ooh, you know who would know, though, is our buddy Rick Schlesinger. So we should give him a call and just see. Is there a holding cell at AmFam Field? Should you need it? And then we could ask him the follow-up if he says yes. How frequently is it being used?
Yeah, I know for a fact there is one at Lambeau.
I know for a fact somebody who's been in the Lambeau holding cell. But that is another story for another day.
It's a good story.
Let's take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So just so you know, you can go out to the team store and get your two-fisted slopper gear. They have T-shirts. They have stickers. They have, what are some of these other things that are in this photograph here? A lanyard. A koozie? Koozie, of course. I almost said cozy. It's a koozie, obviously. Let's take a break. Roll on right after this. Stick around.
You know what I say. Happy wife, happy life. And that usually means a visit to my guy, Dean Dean, the dancing machine at the Jewelry Center. Earrings, custom jewelry, and repair services. The Jewelry Center does it all, including top-of-the-line engagement rings. And when that day comes for my four boys to take their next step, you know where they're going. To the Jewelry Center. Jewelry Center offers great deals and selections on both lab-grown and naturally mined diamonds. Plus, you always hear about how Gabe went to the Jewelry Center and had a great experience with a Jewelry Center specialist to pick out that perfect ring. Stop into one of their three locations, Brookfield, Greenfield, or Burlington today, or check out the full inventory online at shoptjc.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I have told you how many times. Do not mess with electricity, Chew.
And I don't. I did. I did. But I don't.
Incident?
There was one.
Plumbing, you're going to get wet. Electricity, you're going to die.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. For Mental Health Awareness Month, BetterHelp surveyed 16,000 people across 23 countries for its first ever State of Stigma report. Here's what they found. 75% of people believe it's wise to seek support if you are struggling, but only 27% of Americans are actually in therapy. Why the disconnect on those numbers? BetterHelp is trying to close that gap because they know that when people hesitate to get help, it doesn't just affect them. It affects their families, their workplaces, their entire communities. So go to BetterHelp.com. Here's why. They've got over 35,000 therapists. They're the world's largest online therapy platform, and they've served more than 5 million people globally. You could be next. BetterHelp.com/timeout will get you 10% off your first month. And here's the great thing. If you don't like the therapist that you're working with, you can switch therapists at any time. It's convenient. You can do it from the privacy of your home with the click of a button. BetterHelp.com/timeout for 10% off because we are all better with help. Little house housekeeping here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy before we wrap things up. I got a number of people weighing in on the Carbliss Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776, confirming the existence of a holding cell at AmFam Field.
Oh!
Yeah, there it is.
How would they know that a holding cell exists, Jen?
Well, Rudy in the 920 says, been there, done that. Which is what I was guessing was the explanation as well. A close family member ran across the field, slid across the tarp during a rain delay, and got thrown in the holding cell, that from Billy in Sussex. So folks certainly confirming the existence of a holding cell at AmFam Field. We put it on the Infinity Exteriors poll. As a man, would you apply sunscreen to another man's back, Chewy? This is because you said, I'm out. Did you, and you were asked to do this, right? This was a buddy of yours?
Yeah, I said, no, thank you.
Did you volunteer your wife to do the sunscreen for him?
No, that's even worse.
Again, this is why you get the spray. I think the spray, again, Chewy would have done the spray.
No touch.
Spray, yeah, fine.
Yeah.
No touch. 72% of people said no. As a man, they would not apply sunscreen to another man's back. Ron in the Key says, slap a guy's ass after a big catch or bucket, no problem. Protect a brother from skin cancer, no thank you. Which is pretty good.
Sounds about right.
Which is pretty good. The other thing we put on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll is, do encores suck? I like that you put encores in quotation marks, Scott says to Joshy, who formulated the tweet.
Yeah, because it's, again, it's all a charade.
It's performative.
Yeah.
We all agree it's performative. 72% of people agree with Gabe Neitzel's rant.
That's a win.
That encores at concerts suck. Okay, big guy, give me your perfect plan. Give me your utopia. What should they do at concerts? And then that should become standard operating procedure.
Get rid of the, it's easy. So the set list for the Killers, which Joshy did find online, you know, they played 18 songs. They're in on the set list. There is a space between songs number 15 and 16. Just get rid of that space. Stop going through the charade. Stop wasting everybody's time. It's not like they went through and did a costume change. No, they all came out wearing the same stuff.
Maybe they pounded a Gatorade.
You can't do that while you're on
stage.
Do you
add an intermission?
Do you want an intermission at a concert?
9 songs in. Hey, we're going to take
He wants an easier way to escape. The only thing he's advocating for.
I got lost on the way back from the
bathroom. But you escape after the intermission.
What about the intermission and the encore? Because a lot of the bands I see do that.
Really?
Yes.
These are just lengthy concerts you're going to.
Three plus hours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and the Killers can do, I'm assuming, something... Mm-hmm. Of that nature, if they're not playing a fest.
I don't think Taylor Swift did an intermission. I only went to the one show of the Eras Tour, but I don't think she did an intermission. I think she just plowed right through.
Yeah, again, I'm more understanding of the intermission than the encore. Because if you're playing a three-hour show, taking a little breather, I get it. This is all an ego play. Self-praise stink PU. Shout out to Charlene.
Some of Gabe's best work here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Will D and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great day, everybody.